Morning. Well, for those of you who don't know us, my name is Lydia, and this is my husband, Eric. We do college ministry at Colorado Mesa University with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So this summer, I had the privilege of going to Kenya with InterVarsity and leading a team of students there. So I'm going to try to sum it up as best I can. There's so many stories, so much that God did, that there's more than I can share in this time. But I'd like to just pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, we just welcome you this morning. I just ask that you would use all that you did in our time in Kenya and the things you're doing on campus, that it would be for your glory, that the things we share, everyone here would know you more. Yeah, Lord, we just know that you are the only hope. I saw that in Kenya, Lord, and we see that in our own country and our own lives. Yeah, so Lord, would you just use this time? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Matthew can pull up the first photo. I wanted to share this photo with you as it is one of our whole team. There were 10 students from the U.S., along with a handful of InterVarsity staff. And then we were joined by 4 Kenyan students and their equivalent to InterVarsity staff there. So they're called Focus in Kenya, so their staff. And basically, our program was divided into several sections. But the whole thing was to bring the glory of God, both that everyone we would meet would see and know God more, and that our students and fellow staff, that we also would know God and be able to bring back more of who he is to our campuses, to our contexts. So we had a few different parts of the program. So orientation, where we learned some of the language. It was kind of interesting coming up here. In Kenya, something you do before you say anything, preaching, Bible study, even greeting someone, you say, Bwana Asifiwe, which is praise the Lord. And then whoever you're talking to, if they're also a believer, they say amen. So we'll try, I'll say it, and then you say amen. So Bwana Asifiwe. Amen. So praise the Lord. So everything that you do, you're bringing in the Lord and praising him before anything you say or do. So we learned some of the language, we learned some of those cultural things, learned some of the things that might be offensive that we think are normal, and they are normal for us, and some of the things that we just needed to know to function well in their culture. We visited a slum to kind of see that context, as well as that was one of our ministry assignments, to gauge what students could handle being in a space like that for a long time, or for a couple weeks. And then as staff, our role was also to decide who was gonna go where. So then the next part was our ministry assignments, and then we had a little bit after ministry assignments and debrief. So the main thing I'm gonna share about is the ministry assignments. So there's a map, it's a little bit hard to see, but the bulk of our program was spread throughout the country. So we went in pairs or trios and stayed with local pastors and their families and ministered alongside the pastors in whatever, you know, ministries they do. So I imagine it like the sending of the disciples, where they're sent out to share, you know, the kingdom of God is near. So I know it's a little bit hard to see on the photo, but you can see we're actually spread like pretty far. Some of the guys in the farthest north had to travel about 20 hours. The roads aren't in great condition, so it takes a long time to get certain places. And you just kind of join the community. You learn, you do life with them, you learn to cook some of the food. We did laundry by hand, just kind of participated in the ways of life with whatever context we were in. And then along with the pastors, we'd just go and do ministry. So that was a lot of preaching, door-to-door evangelism, or just encouragement to church members, or going to schools and sharing the gospel. So a lot of what I'm going to share is going to be my ministry assignment. because I was deeply impacted by it. And as I was praying and planning, that's what was coming to mind. So we'll just trust that God has something for you in that. So I was on the slum assignment, so I stayed in Nairobi. So most of the students, and I had two students from CMU, they went elsewhere, went throughout the countryside, but I stayed in Nairobi with two American students. And we were with a woman named Pastor Regina. So she welcomed us into her home. We cooked with her. We, you know, met all of her children. She has adult children, but they all live in the same community. She is an incredible woman. I learned so much just from being around her. She has this little area, we called it the compound, and it has all of the ministries that she does are based in there. So she has her own church. She runs a high school that's for children who come out of the slums that otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to high school. She runs a ministry called Mothers of Africa, so that's promoting women to have churches in their own homes to help women who are single moms or just need encouragement and to build little communities. And then they also have Rahema Ministry, which is for people who are living with HIV. So it offers services for physical needs as well as spiritual and mental emotional care. So I wanted to share with you a couple of the facts because to me they were very shocking. So Nairobi has about 2.5 million people who live in slums. And basically the slums are homes that are built out of whatever you can find. So a lot of sheet metal, just kind of attached to each other. And they're very small spaces. And usually, you know, maybe a family of six will live in like maybe a 12 by 12 kind of home. So 2.5 million people in about 200 settlements in Nairobi. So actually 60% of Nairobi's population lives in slums, and that only occupies 6% of the land. So it's very crowded. And one of the slums that we ministered in three slums. It's 3 square miles and 600,000 people live in that space. So I think you can imagine some of the circumstances, but there's a major lack of work. The people are exceptionally hardworking. They find anything they can do, anything they can make. They can go elsewhere to buy and sell, but work is very hard to come by. And school fees, children, families have to pay for their children to go to school, so it's very difficult to have enough money to both feed your family and send your children to school. So unfortunately, we did see malnourishment and a lot of struggles with just providing basic needs for their families. And so it was just absolute poverty. And with that poverty came a lot of lack of hope and things that led to a lot of desperation. And a lot of this is even partly from corruption in the government. So there's a lot of injustice that happens. So it's not just poor circumstance, but also really deep injustice. So one of the main things we did on our day-to-day during our 2.5 weeks there, we did a lot of door-to-door preaching. So often with Rahema Ministry, we would go with our pastor and maybe another couple people from the church, and we would share a scripture, we would share the gospel if they weren't believers, and make invitations to faith. We would share our own faith stories and hear their stories and pray for them for whatever they needed. And I just really saw the impact of that because it's a really dark and hopeless place. And so to be able to bring the only hope that really any of us have, bringing Jesus, people were able to see beyond their moment and know that there is greater hope. And so I wanted to share just one specific story with you that was really impactful for me and the girls I was with. So it's about a boy named Nelson. So Nelson is 14 years old. A few months ago, his father went to the hospital and then was never seen again. There is surveillance of him walking out of the hospital, and that's it. So they don't know if he is alive somewhere or if he has passed, but he no longer has his father. And then his mother and five younger siblings were really struggling. And his mother was considering selling the children, which can go towards, you know, sex slavery or organs. So it's very, very dire circumstances. And so our pastor was working with others who are doing good in the community to try to provide for those children and that mother so that she wouldn't have to do that. But in the midst of that, the mother met a new man and brought him into the home. And he was into witchcraft, and it's a very real and evil thing there. So we don't really know quite what all that entailed, but he was doing witchcraft in the home. And through that, Nelson was kicked out, and often violently, by this man and even his own mother. And so there's a woman named Jessica who worked with our host pastor and told her, this is what's going on, we have to get this kid out of here. At that point, he was living on the streets and was being abused, living on the streets. So we went there with our host pastor, and we ended up bringing Nelson back to where the host pastor lives. Because she runs this school and the students come and live at the school, she actually has dorms set up. That he could join the high school boys and live in the compound. So our pastor also has been working really hard to get him the clothes he needs, get him into school, and has to work to take kind of legal custody of him, so to have kind of a foster care sort of yeah, just that they know what's going on so his mom can't come back and end up accusing her of anything. So it's been quite a process. But when we first met him and brought him back, he kind of, in his posture, he would make himself really small. He wouldn't look at you. He wouldn't talk to you. He was just very withdrawn. But even in the week we were with him, or a little over a week, he began to sit up more, kind of open up. He was coming to church with our pastor and with us. He began playing soccer with the other kids. I saw him smile a few times, and he began even talking to us. It was really exciting the day that he asked me a question. And just last week, we found out that he has began going to school, and so he was so excited to get up early, to go to school. That's all he's been wanting. So we just know that his future actually is really bright, being there now, and having the opportunity just to be cared for and loved, and most importantly, to know Jesus and to be with a family that, that knows the Lord and can offer him hope. So something that I just hope that we can see from that is the slums and all these issues are really big and can be kind of daunting of what do we even do with that. But to see our pastor, who she could change one life in that moment, and she was doing that. And so just to be inspired by, even if we can just change one life, that completely transformed what his life could have been. So when the team returned from all of our ministry assignments, we got to just share stories, and it was really fun. I got to hear the experiences that my students had had. There had been some challenges, but also some really good and exciting things. One of our groups was able to go to the border of South Sudan and share with the border guards there, and they had said no one had ever come to share the gospel with them. And so they were so excited to see that people would even care to come up there. A lot of our students were able to do open-air preaching, which was very scary for them, but they saw God move and honor that. Even some of our students just got to experience new things like milking cows or butchering chickens, just kind of things that you might not experience in the U.S. right now. So I want to share some numbers with you, not just to throw out numbers, but just to share the impact of even, most of this came from those 2.5 weeks, but from our 6 weeks in Kenya, some of what we were able to do. So our team talked to 9,000 people, approximately, and there were 400 decisions of faith. So beginning to follow Jesus for the first time. So we don't know what all of those were, but the host pastors will follow up and kind of see what that meant to people, begin to guide them in their life with Jesus. But 400 people began a new life with the Lord. A couple of other things we were able to do where a few of those decisions of faith came from. We did some evangelism at the universities in Nairobi. Our students had the chance to visit a Hindu temple and a mosque, and we were guided around by those in the faith to learn how to minister to people of different faiths and to just actually understand more of those faiths. And we used a little bit as a prayer walk as well, as we're walking through the mosque or through the temple, to also just be praying for those that were worshiping and would come to those spaces. The last bit was our debrief. So we moved to a place that was more affluent, kind of more like Western culture, and experienced a little bit of reverse culture shock altogether, so that the students could really process where they'd been, what they'd seen, and what it would be like to come home. So we talked a lot about what we learned and experienced, and then also what we wanted to bring back and integrate into our lives back home, bring back to our campuses, that sort of thing. So it really was very impactful for everyone who went. I know that I am changed from my experience in Kenya. I'm still communicating with the friends and really the family across the world. Our students came back, and they, before I'd even asked them, they had ideas for things they want to do on our campus this fall. So we're going to be bringing back our worship night. We do some multi-ethnic worship, so believing that God is a God of all languages and all people. So they want to share with our fellowship some Swahili worship songs that we learned. They want to be more involved in campus prayer and actually praying evangelistically for our campus. And they both, the two students we took, just had really hard circumstances in their lives going into the program. And so I think that God really was speaking to both of them. And not that they're completely resolved situations, but they have some new perspective on God, on prayer, and on those circumstances. So recently, Eric and I went to our regional staff conference. And there we studied the book of Hebrews. And there was one passage that has helped me in understanding some of what I saw and what I saw the Lord doing in it. So we're going to be looking just briefly at Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. So just for a little context, it is talking about kind of the fathers of the faith, so Noah, Abraham, Moses. So we come in 13. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they would have left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. So as believers, we get to see the promise of eternity. And in such a hard place as the slums, it is apparent that people and believers really are strangers and foreigners on the earth in such a dark place. Slums really are kind of the sin and injustice just playing out. And I thank God that earth is not our home. There's a promise of a heavenly home where all is made right. And really looking toward and speaking of that hope and that justice and our heavenly restored home is what we are called to do. Jesus really is the only hope in this world. And I think that that was very apparent there, but is also apparent here. And Christians, we are strangers, we are foreigners on the earth. Coming back to campus, we want our students to really look different and to be different. They are Christians who happen to be students. We want whatever they do, their first and primary identity to be that they are Christians. So even when they graduate, they are Christians who happen to be teachers, they are Christians who happen to be nurses, they are Christians who happen to be accountants. And I hope that that is true for all of us as well, that our primary identity is in Christ. So I'm gonna have Eric come up and share the last bit about what's going on campus. And if we haven't pulled up the photo of our students yet, we can. The photo is of Eric and I with our students Malachi and Kennedy, who came to Kenya with us. And we're just really excited for what the Lord is doing in them and what he is bringing back with them this fall for our campus.
All right. So I just have a few quick things to say about campus. So a week from now, freshmen are going to be moving in, and another school year will start. And these students are going to be making decisions that are going to impact the rest of their lives. Now, what we would really love to see and what our vision for InterVarsity at CMU is that all CMU students would come to know Jesus, would follow him with their whole lives. And I'm a little bit of a cynic, you know, a bit of a pessimist. So I know deep down, right, not all 10,000 students are going to come to know Jesus, right? Sometimes they even make fun of us when we have our, you know, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship table out, right? And they walk way around. But I know that there are going to be a lot of students who do. A lot of students who don't know Jesus as they come onto campus, but will experience him, will meet him. And their lives will be completely different because of it. So Lydia shared about our student Malachi, who went to Kenya. And when we met him last year, he was not a Christian. He was kind of curious about the faith. He had some hard things going on in his life and was looking for hope. And so he decided he would check out some of the religious groups. And we just happened to offer him a free drink or a free snack. That's how we met him. But he decided to start following Jesus in October of last year. So it's been less than a year. And yet he also went to Kenya just 8 months later. His life has been completely transformed because he experienced Jesus. It's just such a privilege for us to get to be a part of that, for us to walk with students in that. And so we have kind of three values that we want CMU students to experience. So the first is community. You guys have heard all the statistics and just how hard it is to be a young college student these days, but it really is true. Students are more and more isolated from one another. They spend more and more time on their phones or on social media, and they don't really know how to interact with one another. They even have their screen time reports on their phone. Their phone will tell them how many hours they average per day on their phone. And as I talk with students, some of them it's like 5 or 6 hours each day on their phone. And so they don't really talk with one another. it's really sad. And so we want to offer a space that provides community, a place where they can come and connect. And this is a community that we hope is also welcome to people who aren't Christian, people like Malachi, who just kind of are curious, want to come explore the faith, want to come and hear about it. And then we want our students to experience Jesus. And my word for that is worship, but I'm a terrible singer, so not, you know, the musical worship that like Matthew does, but to really deeply experience Jesus. Because when they experience Jesus, their life gets transformed, right? He begins to heal the pain, right? He begins to convict them of the ways that they live just like the rest of our culture. And we really have seen students as they begin to interact with Jesus, as they read the Bible, as they hear talks, right, as they engage even in musical worship, right, their hearts begin to change. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of. And then finally, we want our students to experience mission, to know that their faith isn't just for them, that they're in college for 4 years, and that's an opportunity to reach their friends, their classmates, the colleagues they work with. You know, if you can call part-time job, you know, colleagues. But we want them to be able to share their faith. And so I'm really excited for what Malachi and Kennedy will bring back to our campus, because they had so much practice this summer talking with people about faith. You know, they went to a foreign country. They went out to these rural assignments. Right? It was a huge step of faith, a huge step of bravery. And what these pastors asked them to do is walk around and go house to house and tell people about the Bible, tell people about Jesus. Oh, and show up at church and preach while we're at it, right? And so I'm so hopeful for what they'll do this semester on campus, but also what they'll bring back to the other students. The other students who didn't have the opportunity to go to Kenya. I hope that our other students will be inspired, will be brave, will share their faith with their friends, with their classmates, right? Who, as Lydia was saying, right, they'll be Christians first. They're Christians who happen to be students. And all along, that's what we get to help them do. We get to walk beside them. We get to help them experience Jesus. We help them to talk with their friends and classmates about faith. And we offer them a community. We offer them a space where they're welcome and where they belong. And so I just want to thank you and thank our church. Many of you have supported us in various ways, and the church as a whole has supported us throughout the 7 years that we've been at CMU. We're about to start year 8, so I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for all of your support. I just pray that as we tell you about what's going on campus, that's an encouragement to your faith as well, because students' lives really are being transformed. And we are so thankful that God has allowed us to be a part of that. So let me just pray to wrap up our time together. Father, I just thank you for our time together today. Thank you for all that you did in the lives of students and InterVarsity staff in Kenya. Thank you for the ways you challenged them, the ways you encourage them to be brave, the ways you strengthen them. I just thank you for this church, the ways they've supported the work at CMU. I just pray that hearing about what you were doing in Kenya and what you're doing on campus would strengthen our faith here in this church. I just pray, maybe selfishly, for the coming weeks as students come, would you just help us to meet the students we need to meet? And would you be changing the lives of CMU students? Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. You're dismissed. When the people